Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm, and Craig Sullivan, founder and president of the California Lodging Investment Conference. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon. I'm Craig Sullivan.
And I'm Rad Gantos.
And welcome to Check Out California. Yes, I am on the other side of the table today. We've got our guest calling in for a change. So
Who dares not show up at our studio and just feel so entitled that they can call in?
Well, let's be fair. You know, he is the Messiah. He is on the other side of the country.
Oh. Yeah,
so, Mr. Glenn Houseman,
how are you? I'm doing good, and Rod got it right. It was my goal to be insanely disrespectful. I could have been there. I chose not to.
you know what? It's 2019. We'll work on it. I knew who it was. I just, I don't get to do that. And if I can't pick on friends, who can you pick on, right?
That's it.
Exactly. Listen, if people aren't making fun of me, I become very concerned.
You and me both, dude. I mean, that talk about disrespect. You don't make fun of me. That's just very disrespectful. Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I know. Listen, I think a real friendship is you make fun of the people to their faces and say nice things behind their back. And,
agree more.
I don't know what that means for us. I say good things about you to your faces and talk about you naturally as much.
Given what you say to my face, I am privileged for what you probably say behind my back.
So how is the weather back there on the East Coast, Mr. Houseman?
We're still waiting for winter over here.
Oh, we can send you some.
Yeah, it's a good thing there's no such thing as global warming. Hey, listen, I know it must be rough for you guys all the way down there in the low 60s.
Hey, we had flash flood warnings yesterday night. Don't pick on us.
Yeah.
No, I know. You guys got serious weather over there. We just get cloudy, sometimes a little chilly, sometimes a little cold. No big deal over here.
I mean, I got a couple of litter box bags and put sand in them just to be safe and put them in the back of my car today. I mean, you just never know.
That's great. I got so many cats in this house. I'm building a fort out of that.
This is why he's the Messiah, right?
Exactly.
You think you got a zinger, he comes back over the high. Just one-ups you.
Boom, yeah.
It's not one-up. You do not want as many cats as I have in my house. This is not funny.
Meow.
Oh, the crazy cat man. Here we go. So, Glenn, we're going to see you out here at the end of the month for Alice.
Yes, you will. Looking forward to it. Should be an exciting event.
Yeah, I think so. I think I think they've sold out again, so it's going to mean over 3,000 people and a hotel in lockdown. So, at least we do have a nice hotel. So, if we're locked in, we're locked in.
That's true. Hopefully the weather will get better, and even if we're locked out, we'll have a good time.
There you go. There you go.
You've been busy, man. You've been busy. I mean,
I have been home for the last few weeks, and it is freaking me out. I'm so glad I'm getting on an airplane come Saturday. I'm off to Berlin and then London, and I'm going to catch up with you guys in L.A., so I'll be back to being busy before I know it.
No, but you've been posting on interviews you've done, and I mean, it's like, wait a minute, this is only a second week.
And he's got like
of the year. He's
three
like,
new shows.
Right? He's got like three friggin' new shows posted. And I'm feeling like a complete slob.
We can't keep up with you, It's the impossible dream. So, hey, Glenn, tell everybody. Everybody knows you for No Vacancy. Let's give the audience, the names and the subjects of your other shows.
Sure. Of course, there's the preeminent Anthony Melchiori from Travel Channel's Hotel Impossible, with whom I partnered on a show called Check It In with Anthony and Glenn. It's a lot of fun. It's all about the hospitality industry from a career empowerment side and just stuff that we love about the hospitality industry and travel. There's the Hotel Tech Podcast, which I do with a great co-host, Estella Hale from SHR Global. We talk to all the leading technology minds in the business to help folks on that pack of stuff. We just launched the Business of Hotels podcast, which I'm doing with Gary Eisenberg of LW Hospitality Associates. And what's great about that is we'll be talking about operations and all the behind-the-scenes stuff and, like, real estate and all those kinds of issues that people don't deal with. And, of course, I get to do the Hotel Design podcast, where I get to speak to all of the top design industry people that are really just my favorite folks in the business. I just did release the show with HBG out of Memphis, who just recently did the brand new guest house at Great Plains.
Right. Hotel, that's
honoring
right.
The spirit of Elvis Presley.
Yeah, so great interview, by the way.
Thanks. I'm really excited because I've got some cool shows coming up there with the most amazing Roger Thomas, who designed all of Steve Wynn's properties for decades. Mm-hmm. Paul Steelman, who's had his hand in so many different casino resort projects, and I could go on and on. Oh, the next episode, I can't wait for this one. You guys are going to love it. Mike Sumi from Stonehill and Taylor. We're talking about designing the TWA Hotel at JFK Airport.
Oh, nice.
That that's so great.
Cool. Sweet.
Yeah. You're right. I can't wait to see that one. Hey, are you going to do a video?
It's just exciting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You going to do a video component with that one and go film at the hotel?
No, all that stuff is already done, but as soon as they open up the hotel, we're going to go over there and get some great video, maybe do a Facebook Live event from there as well. I'm not exactly sure on the opening date on that, but it's going to be really rooted in the 1960s jet age aesthetic, and I cannot wait to be in it.
Yeah, yeah, I can't wait to see it. It just, you know, it's an amazing transformation and probably one of the best adaptive reuse ideas I've heard of in a long time. So
how can people
got an old jet and they're putting a bar in it, which is going to be really super cool.
Hey, Glenn, how can people find out about these multiple shows? Where do they go to find out or follow
you? Oh, easy enough. You could find them wherever your favorite podcasts are, but our home base is novacancynews.com. You can find all of the shows that we produce out there.
Very good.
Go check them out.
Yeah. Hey, the TWA Hotel opens this spring, so that's going to be coming soon.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Can't wait for that one. Hey, what do you... you've got a few other new projects in Greater Manhattan that you've been dialed in on. Why don't you give us a little taste of what's going on in the Big Apple?
That's a good question. I'm looking forward to the brand new Moxie that's going to be opening up in Chelsea. Just a couple of weeks here. I think maybe 3 weeks or so it'll be open. That's probably the one I'm looking forward to most right now. The other stuff I'm looking forward to is seeing what's going to be happening over on the west side of town as that whole area continues its transformation with all the brand new buildings that are going up there as part of the Hudson Yards project. That's absolutely amazing that there's such a huge piece of real estate available over there. And one of the cool things is going to be this brand new observation deck that's going to be something like 80-something stories up, and you'll be able to still have a bar out there and all of that kind of stuff.
Wow.
That just sounds amazing. Hey, the guys that are doing the Moxie in Chelsea, they're the same ones that have the other one in New York City, and then they're adding one to LA Live, correct?
That's correct. Lightstone Group. Yeah. I'm glad you remember that. We were just talking about that the other day. What a great company that is. I'm very excited about that property over at LA Live.
Yeah.
Because that area just does not have enough properties, right?
Right. So, it doesn't.
I just want some more to open so we don't have
not the right kind of properties.
$100 a night when we go to Ballast.
Well, and if they do, you know, something similar, you know, theme-wise to what they've done with that one property in New York already that's open with the rooftop pitch and putt and the bar and the topiaries cut like Playboy bunnies and all of that, you know they're going to have a great theme in Chelsea.
Actual bunnies, not women dressed as bunnies.
Right,
bunnies.
No, I was referring to the cartoon bunnies. Bunnies, not
Well, there goes our rating on this show.
It might go up. You never know.
Yeah, I think we just gained some listenership.
But yeah, it should be interesting to see what they do with the property here at LA Live. And yeah, there's it certainly is needed down there. Even though, I mean, you and I and Bruce Ford toured the Intercon the week that it opened last year, and that's a beautiful asset and 900 keys, but we still don't have nearly enough hotel assets in that downtown market.
Right. But I think that the big news of all today, guys, is that Marriott International has recently combined all of the programs.
Just going to ask you about that.
Yeah, Marriott Bonvoy. So it's exciting to see that they're putting a new identity behind this and kind of trying to focus more on experiential travel as opposed to just being about points, points, points. But I'm curious as to what YouTube radio stars think about the name.
You know, I'm a little ambivalent about
it.
Yeah,
same here.
You know, I'm sure there was a focus group and a few other things, but I think it's certainly better than, you know, anything else that is out there currently. But I'm not sure if it really gets the message across.
Smells like design by committee.
Yeah. I don't think it has that experiential name, you know, or feel behind
Envoy.
The name.
So, I mean, it doesn't get more personal than that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I'm ambivalent about it. What do you think about it, Glenn?
Which, if he's sharing that on the open air, you know how he really feels about it.
Hey, I've reserved my opinion. We'll be breaking some news here. I don't love the name, but the fact of the matter is, I probably couldn't have come up with anything better. So who am I to complain about it, really?
Yeah. You know, I probably would have gone with Corona. I don't know, yeah, but you know, that's me. So.
Well, at least you stick to something that you love.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
but that's because. To you, there's an experiential component to that.
Right, exactly.
That's a promise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for me.
Yeah, but, it's expectation know. Promise for yeah. Craig, Corona, that he's good. You know, yeah. He knows what he's going to get.
You know, I want my beach and my life. What can I say?
Aloha. Hey, listen, Glenn, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to, you know, you've been doing this for a while. You're doing it with a technology base, you know, smarts. If you will, and you're adding layers and layers to this content development component. I just came from moderating a panel, actually, on website development and content delivery, if you will, electronic right. content delivery, and the potential pitfalls of ADA claims and accessibility yeah. and provision of that accessibility. And I'm bringing it up only because the panel was focused on how this is basically about to impact and is going to be impacting the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
So it's appropriate for this show. But I'm curious from your perspective, because having moderated that panel, when I moderated, I knew a little bit, but we spent an hour talking and my eyes got opened up to the fact that it pretty much is anything and anybody who's putting out content that's digital is basically at the mercy of an unclarified litigation potential or possible claims about the fact that they may be discriminatory in how they're presenting that information. So now you've got mm-hmm. three or four or five shows, you're presenting them digitally, we'll reflect that on a hotel business, say, okay, you got a website for a hotel.
Right.
Right? They're basically mm-hmm. looking to try to engage people and have them book through their system versus maybe an alternative way for booking. And in your case, how much of that is factoring into your thinking? Because it seemed like a pretty scary proposition these days to be putting out digital content.
Yeah, it certainly does. The only thing that I've thought about it is when I inherited my No Vacancy News website from the developers, the first thing they told me is always fill up stuff in this box because it'll satisfy some ADA requirements for blind people when it comes to images that you have on the site. So I've been sticking to that, just, you know, not only because it's the right thing to do, but because it makes me a little nervous not to do it. But
yeah.
Honestly, I don't see anyone saying what we could be doing better or what we could be doing wrong from an educational point of view. So I'm just trapped in the world of I don't know what I don't know, and I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, that's kind of the scary. Yeah. That's the scary world when it comes to that. And I'm only bringing it up because it's just a timely mm-hmm. topic. You know, like you brought up the thing with photos, for example. Yes, photos from an SEO perspective need words associated with it, but also for somebody who has limited visibility that is using a software that's reading things out to them, there needs to be enough verbiage in there to basically reflect what the photo is. And then you go move into video content, and that's on a whole bunch of
something entirely.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that I'd brought it up because you are, you know, the digital master, yeah. and you're growing your library. So I'm wondering if that's something.
Yeah, I really am just hoping for the best at this point. At some point, somebody bigger than us is going to get smacked, and then we're probably going to have to figure out what to do next. But I may be doing an all right job here in the hospitality industry, but there's a lot of organizations right now that are creating great digital content out there for consumers, and are pretty sure that if anyone's going to have an issue, they're going to go to those deep pockets first.
Right, because they're a third-party content developer that then basically goes and sits on those portals. So you're also you're going to Hail Mary that they're basically doing it correctly. Totally. Thanks, Glenn. Yeah, I'm sorry for taking it off on a tangent here.
No, it's a great idea.
No, I love tangents. I'm not very good at sticking to anything anyway.
No.
Yeah, well, except for the body searches at TSA.
Well, I was going to say self-acceptance is the first step in recovery.
Well, I'll tell you this. With Discovery Shutdown and the TSA maybe not looking at us a little closely, I'm sad that I won't get my body searches. I mean, a man needs a little bit of love sometimes.
So you know, I have become disillusioned by the Messiah. Now I know way too much information. When are we traveling together again?
Don't worry, Rod. It gets much, much worse.
Gosh. Any trips before you come out to the left coast there, Glenn?
Yeah, man, as I mentioned earlier in the conversation, I'm off to Berlin to hit the Summit Recharge, and then I'm going to be shooting some videos for Here to Stay TV in London. Looking forward to being there in Berlin, because this conference is going to be pretty interesting stuff. It's all about alternative accommodations and the changes that we're seeing.
Right.
One of the cool things about being involved with this Here to Stay TV project that I do on behalf of Bridge Street Global Hospitality is that I really get the opportunity to be ahead of this trend that people in the hotel industry are just starting to think about now. So
yeah.
I'm going to be hosting a session where we're going to be really brainstorming about the future of this business. And I know a bunch of hotel industry executives are going to be attending in a more meaningful way than they ever had in the past. So I think this category is going to start to bust wide open in this coming year. So it's great to be learning ahead of everybody else. So maybe I could sound like I know what I'm talking about, at least for another couple of months.
what's your gut prediction? You know, you're amongst friends here. What's your gut predictions on 2019?
My gut prediction in 2019 when it comes to alternative accommodations is that the major hotel brands are going to finally acknowledge that there's something here. They're finally going to realize that even though the hotel industry has been doing so great, it's actually been hiding the fact that there's a seminal shift that's going on for a big percentage of people in the way that they want to experience accommodations when they're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I think by the end of 2019 or early 2020, we're going to see the first brand by a major hotel company that's going to start to look more like a service department or a co-living and co-working kind of an environment. And I think that is going to be the future of hospitality. And I wish I had the big pockets and the deep pockets in order to develop that kind of brand, because I want to desperately be involved in one of these properties coming up in the future. I think they're going to be a big home run.
And this is something to your point. It's been happening on a smaller scale, smaller, definitely corporate scale, probably smaller entity investment groups, but it's been happening, and it's been sort of happening by disruptors in certain markets more than so.
Right.
You know, I keep thinking about where I stayed in Austin and how that was exactly what you just described. It was a mixed use work-live. There was no concierge. I literally got the key to the pad, the keypad on the door.
Yep.
You know, checked in on the front door, went into there. If I needed anything, I would text them. In fact, the irony was we had an issue. We needed to get something, and there was a telephone number that we could call or we could text.
Yeah.
And I called, and half an hour later to an hour, I had no response. I texted. I got a response in less than 5 minutes. So even though it was the same, you know, technology-sensitive approach to customer service, texting was faster response than calling.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and you've got, you know, it's, you know, Glenn and I kind of had a texting conversation about this. You know, you've got other disruptors or innovators out there, depending on your point of view. I mean, you look at WeWork, and they've got WeLive in both Manhattan and D.C. You know one's coming to San Francisco and downtown L.A., possibly the Gas Lamp in San Diego. But there's another group that it's kind of a hybrid between lodging and corporate housing, Stay AKA.
Mm.
And they just opened up one in west side of L.A., than probably the past 30 to 45 days, but they're in London, New York, and I can't remember the other city, but Glenn was
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia. There you go. You were all on top of that. And, you know, I was checking their website here in L.A., and, you know, they use the word lodging quite a bit, and it's from a week stay to a few months, which is very similar to the model of We Live.
Right.
And you can get, you know, you can get a loft-styled apartment. You can get a one-bedroom. You can get a larger one. They've got a concierge. They've got a fitness center and everything else. And, yeah, I think you're going to start seeing more and more of that here. And I think, you know, Glenn, you're certainly spending a lot more time in Europe than I am. But you've been seeing these trends over there. And this is, what, your second or third conference of this type in Germany?
Probably fifth or sixth already.
Wow, that many.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing two or three a year now for the last couple of years.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm getting really steeped in what's going on, and I'm really getting to know all the players in that side of the business. But let me take it back to AKA for a second. I did a great interview with last June that I ran sometime during the summer on No Vacancy, but one story that Larry Corman, the co-CEO of the company, told me is his dad was a real estate developer in Philadelphia. And they had a building, it was kind of a round building with pie-shaped apartments, and they were trying to rent them out.
Yeah.
But people weren't really into renting those buildings. It was just too weird for them to want to live in.
Yeah.
So they stumbled on the whole idea of doing fully furnished apartments for like guys that were getting divorced or people that were relocating, and they wound up inventing this sector that's now known as service apartments. And all these decades later, we don't even realize it goes back to this this happy accident that kind of happened. And only now is it really starting to become something that the mainstream is thinking about.
You know, it's funny. In certain markets, there are certain properties that are unofficially known to be exactly servicing that kind of transitional housing.
Yeah.
It's funny.
You know, and it makes a lot of sense in a vertical market like New York City or San Francisco, Chicago, Miami to a large extent. And, you know, we had, you know, kind of a corporate housing thing out here for a number of years. It was Oakwood Garden Apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing. You know, it was, you know, during my divorce, I moved into one for a couple of months. But yeah, we had one over by Universal Studios. So every time they were in pilot season, all the B actors and directors were staying there as well. But you had a liquor store, you had a dry cleaners, you had a tennis court, a fitness center, and a few other things. So it's kind of, you know, I'm kind of equating it, especially what Glenn had to say, to like the old Peacoat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes out of fashion for a while, but then it comes back and then it goes away again.
Yep.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what you pick up in Germany at this conference and come back with. So that should,
and the cool thing I'll tell you that this event does is the first day of the event is not a typical conference. We go and we tour a bunch of innovative products around the city. And then
the second day
is a little bit more of a traditional conference. Last year when I attended this very same event in Amsterdam, it was so cool because we went and we got to see these awesome new concepts that blew my mind. And then we got on boats and then we got on canal boats and sailed from one place to another and had drinks on the boats. It was so much fun.
Nice. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it really was. Assuming I remember it, I did have a couple of cocktails.
Well, you're on a boat. As long as you didn't fall overboard, you're fine.
Yeah, right.
What are some of the things, Glenn, that are maybe seemed like a good idea at a time, but are basically fizzling out from what you're seeing? What are some of the things that got a lot of hype, but then now basically are not likely to survive 2019?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Wow.
Yeah, one that I'm now like using some extraneous words to solve because I don't really have a direct answer for you. But I think that some of the problems is that people jump on technology a little bit too quickly, kind of sidestep your answer. So a lot of stuff comes in and then kind of goes out. Instead of me saying what I think is not going to be surviving in the next couple of years, I think that all of this this texting stuff is going to still be there, but I think voice is going to supplant it at some point, right? But I think the next big thing, while we're at the top of the market now, and it's getting very hard to continue to push rate, and operating expenses are continuing to rise. So the next big thing that I think is going to happen is going to be workplace productivity type of software to get employees to be maximizing time and opportunity to lower the overall expenses it takes to run a hotel per hour.
Yeah, now that's that. Yeah, you're seeing more and more of that now, and I mm-hmm. think you're seeing a lot of it in the larger hotels, the conference oriented hotels. But you know what? That is going to work its way down to the 30, 40, 50 key boutique. It's going to be at the 90 key boutique and mm-hmm. select service. And, you know, as we continue to have, you know, employment
issues.
Staffing and various other situations coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've still got an overabundance of jobs that can't be filled,
mm-hmm.
and that's not going away anytime mm-hmm. soon. So, yeah, you've got to get your people working smarter. And you know what, Glenn, I'm sure you've seen this from some of the people you're talking to. I'm seeing the insurance carriers implementing some of this stuff as well, especially on the training side.
Right.
You know, to keep workman's comp claims down and all of that. So you've got to look at the entire picture of operations and, you know, your fiduciary responsibility, not only to the asset, but, you know, to the staff as well. And, you know, I'm almost at the point now where I don't want to use the word staff, but your team members at a specific asset, because they do have to take a pride in ownership in what they do. You've got to take a pride in ownership in the hotel and the team that you have there supporting and taking care of your guests. So.
Well, and they're a scarce commodity, especially if they're seasoned.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So it's interesting. It seems to me that it's driven by this need for efficiency is driven by a increase of cost and everything, including payroll.
Yeah.
But additionally, it is also driven by maximizing resources because of finiteness of resource.
Yeah. No, you're
so
right.
It's an interesting situation, especially if you're a larger property.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because where do you draw that line between, you know, efficiency in minimizing staffing need and then basically starting to basically come across as not having enough to purvey what it is that you stand for as a property?
Well, that, and you're going to see, and I believe it's Bob Rausch, the hotel guru, has got an Android.
Yes.
In his hotel that delivers towels and, you know, bottle of wine from the
Yeah, he's been
the
on,
bar
on here talking
that,
about so. How it delivers towels. I want to know what else it delivers after hours.
Well, you know what I like is the security factor. So as it's going through the hallway, there's a live feed. So you know if somebody's in there, you know, getting a little crazy, let's say. But, yeah, sounds really
So you're
good.
Not saying Bob's got a tasers on his robot,
No, 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 no. Okay. You couldn't do that. Yeah,
it's a robot,
that's
though.
Illegal.
It was a robot.
It's illegal.
It's a robot. These are not the droids
it's
that you are
Hollywood.
Looking for.
It's not Hollywood. See, Glenn can check into the W in Hollywood or Brentwood, and, you know, the guy opening the door could be the next, you know, William Shatner or, you know, Quentin Tarantino.
So. You know, I'll tell you something, Glenn. I'm all for you doing all these shows and, you know, branching out into operations and design, all this stuff. Okay, good for you. Awesome. When the heck is going to be the behind-the-scenes version? Where are the blooper reels? Okay, that's what I want to know. Because I know there's some of them. As long as you've been doing this, that's what I want to know. Where's the punked version?
Yeah, funny to say that. When we were first starting doing the podcast, we tried recording like an After Dark kind of a show, and
the unplugged.
We were not able to protect the not so innocent, so we were unable to actually run that particular program. That being said, I happened this week to be on a design funny. Show that's created by students, and
yeah, I saw that.
It's through this live design network, and the operator of that network told me that they're going to be launching a show that's going to be like a drunken design history. So that's going to be pretty darn funny.
Well, you and I both know the guy behind that series, shall we call it? Mm-hmm. It seems very fitting that would be actually in the next direct direction that they would take. That's pretty funny. I'm going to have to talk to Joe about that. It's hilarious.
Yeah, sure.
That's too funny. Well, Glenn, we're down to about our last 3 minutes. What do you want to leave our audience with? Give us some wisdom.
give you some wisdom. Be open to new ideas in 2019. Don't think you know absolutely everything. Things are changing really rapidly right now, and it's really important to be open, to allow great things to come into you, to find inspiration, and to help you create some success for the future. The rules of yesterday probably don't apply to tomorrow, so be very well aware of that.
That's very good advice at the beginning of the year from the Messiah himself.
There we go.
We are one with the universe.
Very good, my friend. Hey, Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today. I will see you in a couple of weeks at LA Live. Looking forward to Alice 2019.
I don't know if the country will still be open by the time I get back from Berlin and London, so I don't know if I'll be able to get back in.
You know, it was actually pretty funny. One of the things that came out when we were talking about ADA on this panel, Glenn, you and I, Craig, come from the same mindset sometimes, so you guys will appreciate this. So there was a discussion, of course, about, you know, the evilness of ADA and the government overreach and regulations and all this stuff, right? And somebody said, well, you know how government is. Like, it'll take us 20 years to figure out what these impacts on website and technology are from ADA. Yeah, you know how slow government moves. And somebody in the back of the room, and I don't know who it was, basically just came, you know, all I heard it was a voice that said, well, they were very efficient about the shutdown.
Oh, very good, very good.
So there's still hope that if government can move fast in some things, there's still hope.
Hey, if it wasn't for NASA, we wouldn't have Tempur-Pedic.
There you go.
So,
you guys are too funny. Well, thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you, Glenn, and always. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care, brother.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Bye-bye, Glenn.
See you
later.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to play a few commercials, and then the sponsor for today's show, CBRE Hotels and Rod Apodaca. We are going to have the check-in with Rod Apodaca. Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, so do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.
Imagine buying a newspaper and discovering that the news you're reading is 6 months old. There isn't much that stays the same for 6 months. And the same thing goes for background checks. In a time when so much outdated information is being passed around, it's good to know that People G2 offers something different. At People G2, we provide today's intelligence, not yesterday's news. Our value-added approach offers you a fully FCRA-compliant solution that includes up-to-the-minute information. By combining industry-leading technology with old-school human investigation, People G2 is able to give you information that is accurate right now, delivered quickly to our online system or integrated with your HR system. So ask yourself, are you comfortable working with old news, or are you ready for a different kind of background check company? Visit peopleg2.com or call 800-630-2880. That's 800-630-2880 or peopleg2.com.
Here we go. We are back. I'm Craig Sullivan. And he's Rad Gantos.
And I'm Rod Gantos.
And we've got a very special part of the show that we're kicking off today. This is Check In with Rod Apodaca, CBRE Hotels. And we'd like to welcome Rod to the show and thank him and CBRE Hotels for sponsoring Check Out California. Rod, are you there?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, Craig. Thanks, Rad.
Hey, Rad.
I'm actually on the road. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
You're doing great.
Good. Yeah, it's been a full week after the holidays. Actually, full couple weeks. Everyone's, I think, back in full gear, full speed, and ramping up for the Ellis Conference that's coming up at the end of the month here.
Yes, it is, and I'm sure you are attending. Correct.
I will be there, and I think we're going to be, our entire CBRE hotel group should be extremely busy. We're coming out this year with a pretty strong book of business. In fact, I'm sitting, I just had a property tour that I left, and I'm now sitting in a parking lot of one of the hotels. We're going to be launching a portfolio of top shelf select service product, probably early next week, right before Ellis. So, there will be a lot of interest and a lot of activity.
Very good. Obviously you can't go into details on that right now, but we are expecting you to bring us some details on that portfolio post Alice when you're back on the show, and we'll also get your thoughts on the America's Lodging Investment Summit and where we're going post Alice. So, what have you got to announce? What's going on out there?
Well, the market continues to remain strong. The CBRE Hotel Advisors and our economic group seem to all agree that 2019 should again be another strong year. We are still seeing positive RevPAR growth, albeit maybe not as steep as we've seen in past periods.
Yeah.
But still see the market as performing fairly strong. We had a number of deals that we had call for offers towards the end of last year where we saw some very aggressive cap rates. On those offers. We are also obviously tracking other activity in the marketplace, and for deals that are of quality and of location continue to demand, compared to the rest of the country for sure, very, very strong cap rates. Right. When I say strong cap rates, we're probably sub sevens and in some cases sub 6% cap rates.
Wow. Yeah.
For awesome. These properties.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still very exciting.
Now, on some of the assets you had calls for offers on, any news on the Red Lion here in Anaheim?
Red Lion, we are looking, I guess, through a series of buyers right now.
Great.
Great location. It is an older product. It does have a long-term ground lease on it. So for some buyers, that is a negative. But the fact that the property is, you know, basically ground zero, Catella and Harbor in Anaheim,
yeah,
is a big attraction, and it's getting a lot of play.
You know, you and I should probably have a conversation off the air, Rod. I've got a group that has a fund, and they're probably going to buy about 20 assets in the United States. The money's already here, and they like the idea of something on a ground lease. So I will get you connected with them. We can, matter of fact, we can meet up at Alice and have a discussion about that.
Fine. Look forward to that. That'd be great.
Definitely.
We continue to see the market being strong. We have seen a slight uptick in the spreads on debt, but still overall the rates are still very attractive. We are still looking at rates in the 5% range for select properties. So for those that are interested in the marketplace, it's still a good time to be out there looking to acquire assets.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now, I know you work hand in glove with your guys up in Northern California as well. What are your thoughts on that market? And why don't you give the audience a little bit, you know, we met your team here in Southern California. You had them in the studio. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on your guys up north as well?
Sure. And I'll stay on the West Coast. So starting at the top, Seattle, we've got Chris Burdett and Matt Barron. They handle not only the state of Washington, basically the great Northwest, including Alaska.
Okay.
I know Chris has done deals as far east as Montana, and they really have a very strong grip on that marketplace. Matter of fact, the Red Lion that you mentioned, is they are the lead brokers on selling that portfolio. And the assets there were as far east as Atlanta.
Yeah.
And of course, as you mentioned, as far west here in Anaheim, California, there are two assets left in that portfolio. So those are sold out. So Chris and Matt, being based in Seattle, in San Francisco, which, we have Mark McDermott and Henry Bowes. They cover the northern half of the state. I cover the southern half. Those two gentlemen have become extremely well entrenched in wine country. They've been selling million-dollar per room resorts up there, and have been quite successful in representing the owners throughout the Napa Valley. And obviously based in San Francisco, cover the East Bay, the South Bay, all the way down into Silicon Valley, and have watched that market just explode over the past, oh my gosh, 6 years,
yeah,
like that, 7 years. Very strong. Interesting in the sense that that market, that segment, while cap rates might be a little bit more attractive, price per room is through the roof. And
yeah,
that has a lot to do with the fact that them able to generate higher ADRs than perhaps what we're seeing here in Southern California.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on track with that, my friend. It's you know, I know when I've stayed up there, it just, you know, it was expensive. So it's yeah, it's
a different world altogether.
Different world, but yeah, it's you're definitely paying per pound up there. So
you have a lack of available buildable land. A lot of infill projects take place, and of course, your initial entry fee to get in those spaces is much more expensive. And then as you look at the expansion of what's going on in Silicon Valley, again, available land becomes very, very pricey, thus ultimately driving up the type of rate that a hotel has to ask to support those numbers, and then in turn creates a much higher value.
Right.
Yeah. What are you seeing statewide on development? You know, we know that there's a ton of select service assets, you know, either shovel ready, they've already broken ground, or deep within the planning stage. Or is that getting to be a little bit of a concern that there's so much select service in that pipeline?
Depends on the specific market. If by way of example, Anaheim, and when I say Anaheim, I'm really talking the Disneyland market.
Right.
That market has added quite a bit of rooms. We're looking at a total of maybe 20% increase in room count over the last couple of years, and then going into the end of this year. But with that said, it's been actively absorbing all of it. We have not seen a decrease in occupancy in that market, and
right,
quite frankly, the groups that are building have been in that market since the 70s and 80s, and you wouldn't think they would build if they thought they were going to cannibalize their own product. So that particular market's fine. I am seeing a big uptick in requests for us to go out and sell hotel land development sites. Some are in areas that you definitely need additional rooms, and there are other areas that ownership is very much aware that there is the threat of a lot of hotels on the chalkboard. However, the theory, and it's pretty simple, it's usually the first guy with the shovel in the ground is going to be the winner, because
right,
as you see new product start to open, both the banks and the brands start to take a step back and saying, well, wait a minute, what's the total room count coming in? So
right,
if you've got stuff on the drawing board, it's imperative that you get your approvals through the city and to be able to get your shovel in the ground as soon as possible. And quite frankly, as we look at these sites to take out to market, that is a key element that we take into consideration.
Hmm.
I think on the last show, we had just launched a development site in San Marcos.
Right,
you did.
And the beauty of that piece is that we've gone through quite a bit of the entitlement process where we basically need administrative approval to be able to pull permits, which is maybe a six-month process versus maybe an 18 to 36-month process on a site you're trying to get rezoned for a hotel.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think, yeah, you've got to look at, I mean, you know, as much as certain areas of the Inland Empire might be appealing, I mean, I just don't know. You know, can it really support, you know, 2, 3, 5 different select service assets coming into the market within a few months of one another? So yeah, it's interesting. Now, I'm not aware. Are there any resorts in development in California right now?
There's talk of a 50-acre site out in La Quinta.
Okay.
Which would actually add additional golf courses. I'll let those that are into more feasibility study determine whether or not that is a good call or not.
Yeah.
But what I will say about the desert, we've seen a real great regentrification of downtown Palm Springs.
Yep.
You have the Kimpton product there. You have a new Andaz that's going to be opening.
Yep.
Very the high walkability count for those products versus staying in a resort that might simply be a golf course.
Right.
You have the beauty of restaurants, retail, et cetera, right at your doorstep. And we're seeing a big push to try and expand that marketplace. So,
well, the individual communities out there, Palm Springs specifically, have actually had a concerted effort on repackaging themselves as a destination.
Yeah.
Everything from mid-century modern week to other things that are appealing across the board versus just go out there and play golf. It's an interesting dynamic to see play out in a not a new territory, but the territory reinventing itself.
Yeah. I agree.
Right. You've got all the film festivals. You've got the different type of sports matches that are going on out there year-round.
Yep.
And they've done a phenomenal job.
Hey, Rod, let me ask you about the west end of San Bernardino. Has Ontario truly got a plan worked out for their airport? And they're going to, you know, start driving, you know, more passenger traffic there? You know, it seemed like LAX almost killed that airport. But you know, it's just like a ghost town out there.
Ontario historically has been a market on the verge of being very strong. So, you know, unfortunately, I think the vote is still out to see what's going to happen with the airport. We've seen quite a bit of inventory come into that market over the last, 10, 15 years. With the hopes that, you know, the airport was really going to expand and, no pun intended, but take off with the amount of passenger traffic.
Right.
And along with that, the convention centers hope to see some growth. But, while that market remains relatively stable, I'm not sure you could see a huge, upward trend in RevPAR in that marketplace. I think if you're by the airport, that's fine. I think around the mall has tended to show pretty strong numbers. Again, you know, the walkability or amenity factor comes into play when you get closer to the mall. So still a relatively stable market, not a bad market, but I'm not sure it's one that's going to be – you're going to see explosion of RevPAR growth.
I'm cautious with that market. I mean, it rises and falls – with the Twin Harbors, you know, L.A. and San Pedro. Once all that antiquated storage facility out by the harbors gets filled, it all goes out there. You've got more cargo coming into Ontario, which means more tech support, more people working in the warehousing and Teamsters and everything else. But it just seems to me that Ontario upland area just is on the cusp of being able to do some really neat things if they can get that airport together and really generate, you know, passenger traffic.
You know, I think to Rod's point, though, and I think you hit it right on the head when you said it historically has been on the verge. And I went to school out there in late 80s at Claremont Graduate School.
It was on the verge.
I was on the verge. I lived in Upland. It was on the verge. Yeah. You know, I went over to Upland the other day, and I was glad to see that the downtown area had been engaged a little bit more, but it's still sort of on the verge.
Yeah.
And then I drove through Redlands last week as I was heading up to Big Bear, and their mall looked like the Palm Springs Mall used to look about 5 or 6 years ago. It was just so there's a commercial real estate negative impact on some of these properties over out there. The further you go east, the more that there's this sort of inventory of stuff. So yeah, it's interesting. It's been on the verge, and then you know you have something like Victoria Gardens come in Ontario, and it's like wow, it's happening, and then the airport thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of interesting.
Rod, why don't you leave us with some positive thoughts and some information for our hotel market?
Well, we still see it being very strong throughout this year. I think owners can expect continued top-line growth. I think that from both a purchase money on the debt side, purchase money and refi, there's available funds available for those that would like to restructure their financing, and we still have an extremely, extremely high interest from local, regional, national, and international buyers looking for product to buy.
Nice.
So I think, you know, all bets are off as of December 31st of 2019, but I think we're going to see another good year in like we have over the last couple. So
part of your strategy is to close everything before December 31st of this year. We're not going to have anything roll over. There's no tax advantages or anything else to going into 2020. Close it in 2019.
The strategy is always to keep things moving in the right direction and get things closed efficiently and as prosperous for both a seller and a buyer.
Absolutely.
Brad, I got a question for you, and it's sort of follows up what you just said. You know, 2019, we're good to be okay. 2020, all bets are off. What are some of the stuff that you may be looking out for to see as it could be a red flag or some sort of indicator to pay attention and look out for? Anything particular?
Well, yeah, job... employment numbers are extremely important, and those remain to be very strong. So, you know, it's hard to imagine there's going to be any potential dip this year. But one of the things we are concerned about is the U.S. debt and the concerns that that brings with rising interest rates, or for that matter, the allocation of government spending to support that additional debt. Which takes away money from other services and other spaces that, like now we're seeing the government shutdown. Government shutdown is having an impact, obviously, on a national basis, and some may not realize that in certain markets, a good percentage of a hotel's guest profile is that GSA, the government tenant or client.
Yep.
And some of the larger hotels in metropolitan areas are seeing also a bump in their vacancies now.
Yeah.
The belief, and hopefully that's the case, that this is a temporary issue.
Yeah.
But when those products, those hotels, if they are thinking about selling, they're going to have a story to discuss about their first quarter of 2019. So there is concern about some of the pressures with respect to spending from government entities, and again, you know, the concern about rising interest rates. But as far as just top of my head, those are probably the primary things we're concerned about. Overbuilding in Southern California, certain markets for sure. Other markets, like I mentioned, Anaheim, not so much.
Hey, well, you know what, Rod? Again, let's end this on an upbeat note. I sent you an article where CBRE was talking about RevPAR and City of Huntington Beach and how that had a big jump. How about that as your last good news story?
Well, you just said it. We've seen good, strong growth in the local coastal markets, which, like most Southern California coasts, you've got lack of potential inventory. So if you own in those markets, we still can see continued lift from the tourist industry, and those are going to help push rates and thus values. So for those that own along the coast, you're sitting on a little gold mine right now, and may want to call me and see how I can help you monetize some of that.
Hey, let's turn it into a motique.
There you go.
Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Hey,
thanks,
Rod, I will see you up at Alice. Thank you very much for being a sponsor. Thank you for imparting great knowledge to ourselves and to our audience. And I thank you, my friend. And we will be checking in with Rod Apodaca.
Always a pleasure.
After Alice.
Thanks, Rod. Hey,
thanks, Todd. Thanks for the time, and look forward to meeting everybody at Alice.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I think that about does it for this episode of Check Out California.
Thank you for everybody who checked in to check us out.
Yes, thank you.
It's interesting. I said it when I was moderating this panel today. You know, it's like it's in your DNA. It's in your DNA, and there's always something new in this industry that is happening. And you scratch the surface, and you find 10 other things that are happening. You know, and it's always evolving and reinventing itself. You know, it's almost seems like the cycle of reinvention is getting faster and shorter.
You're right. It is. Or we're just getting older. I don't know.
We're forgetting.
Or both.
No, I honestly think that, well, but for sort of understandable reasons, it's more competitive.
It is definitely more competitive.
It's tighter market.
Yes.
you really have to be solid in what your offering is, right? You got to be able to deliver it in a fully integrated, call it vertically integrated model, right? And you got to basically be sustainable and last for a duration of time where you can basically recoup your initial investment or cap improvements or whatever, and basically then potentially take it beyond that. And it's interesting. I mean, if you think about that as being the realities of on the operational side or the ownership side or the support services or vendor side, that this is the reality of every day in this industry.
Yeah.
That these are the power, the forces that are at play.
It is. And you know what? When all the forces at play are coming together and still working to get the deal done, and we've still got that going on. I mean, has there been a little tightening? Yes. Join us on March 7th.
Yeah.
At the Westin South Coast Plaza.
Why? What's going on over there?
That is the day that we will have the California Lodging Investment Conference. And
wow.
You know what? You're going to meet lenders that are still doing loans. And matter of fact, I'm in the middle of a loan with one of them right now, and I got my loan approval. So, you know, it's a good thing. You'll meet Rod Apodaca there. I know he's attending and his team is. And we've got various other sponsors that if you don't know, you should get to know them. This is an opportunity to be a part of our community. This conference is solely focused on the California hotel market.
And has sold out
past two years
in a row.
Yeah.
So get
a bigger location. So we're trying to accommodate. And you know, it's we've gone from four panels to six, and we're still going to end somewhere between 4:30, 4:40, and then I throw a really good networking after party.
And we just walked it today to just review the ballroom and the stage setup and all this stuff. And the Westin is a great location, very and convenient.
Rod is doing the stage design. So,
I am. Thank you again for the opportunity this year to do the stage design.
Yeah.
But yeah, make sure to register early because it will sell out again. And this is something you don't want to miss because it's very focused. It's very convenient. It's one day. It's the caliber of people you want to be engaged with and networking with. Resources are phenomenal. It really is an interesting industry we're in, and you know, whether we are just sycophants and we basically love basically this daily grind.
It's in our DNA. Yeah,
but it really is in our DNA. It's challenging, but I think it has enough people in it that are solution minded that it really makes it fun to engage with.
Yeah,
and it does. And the fact that it is not a set thing. You wake up every morning and do the same thing over and over in the same way. There's so many forces at play that it really, you have to be on top of
all
your game.
The moving parts. It's an operating business. It's a real estate.
So stay up on all of that stuff. Make sure to join us on Check Out California.
And if you're going to Alice, make sure you find me over there and say hi. And to attend the California Lodging Investment Conference, please go to our website, and that is CLIconference.com. And because you are part of Checkout California, use the discount code of CLIC, CLIC, and you can save 20%.
I want to give a shout-out to Craig for doing a spinoff on the Checkout California show, which is Checkout California 3x10. And he's got a couple episodes already out on that, and there's more coming.
Second one drops tomorrow.
So check out California 3x10 on Facebook,
YouTube.
Follow Craig, and you'll see it post. It's a very cool, short, very focused format where he interviews leaders in the industry. So with that being said, thanks again.
Thank you all. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Craig.
Goodbye, everybody. We will see you after Alice.
See you guys soon. Aloha.
Thank you for being our guest today on Check Out California. We look forward to having you as a guest with us again in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always reach us through our Check Out California Facebook page or by emailing us at checkoutcalifornia@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. So do let us know what you think of the show and what areas of interest you'd like to see us cover in the future. Your feedback is very important to us as we continue to bring you the best hospitality our Golden State has to offer. Until next time, may all your days be filled with sunsets and palm trees. Now, go experience and check out California.